Attention, air traffic control. A flock of eagles is heading to Arizona.
Mr. Reese, pack your bags. We're going to the Super Bowl.
We are, and we cannot wait.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your family to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph to maybe even taking your own kids to their very first game. It's the feeling we all get that kind of brings us back to our own personal Philly Field of Dreams. And the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel, our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all right here in Philadelphia. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages, so check us out. The Night Terrors only last so long. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Joining me, as always, from his sports cave in Villanova, he is our guide and mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports. And he's the author of the recent book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. Hi, Lou.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a long 2 weeks, long 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks before the championship game. And now 2 weeks to the Super Bowl. And the papers are filled with stories you'd never read before. Sirianni was a babysitter. This guy's mother bakes cookies. But I got to tell you, some of the stories are really interesting, stuff you didn't know or you forgot or you never heard about. But the one story that was interesting was that back in 82 or 83, Philadelphia thought they might get a Super Bowl here. Yep. And Mayor Good and Leonard Toews really put on a big campaign to get it here, which would not have been a good idea because it was one of the most miserable days of the year. Yeah. It was zero and wind blowing and freezing and horrible. And it reminded me of when they had the Super Bowl in Detroit 1 year and yes. It snowed so hard, people could hardly even get to the game. So keep it in nice, warm places.
Yeah, they reminded everybody of why they hold them, where they hold them. And of course, the one thing you and I were talking about pre-show, we had our good friend Michael Poogie on from Big Charlie's Saloon, the Chiefs Bar in the heart of South Philly that I had kind of put on the map years ago in my TV news days. And they sounded kind of ambivalent. And then between last week's show and today, they canceled their party. I'm sure they'll have a small gathering, but as you were saying, they're nervous about Chiefs fans leaving a bar in the heart of South Philly, win or lose.
So wearing Kansas City regalia and walking through center South Philly, not a great idea.
Exactly. Museum of Sports Director of Community Outreach, Susan Baxter, is off this week. Coming up today, do you want to buy that wrestling belt? Do you remember this from 2003, 2004, that Freddie Mitchell was holding up and running around the stadium after they beat the Packers? Well, it is for sale, and Ryan Lennox is going to be here, and he's looking for a buyer, so get out your checkbooks. And Ryan's also going to be getting a spot appraisal from our own King of Sports Collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection. Mr. Nick DiPaccia Jr. is here, hopefully going to knock Ryan off his chair. But up first, we always say it is the ultimate Eagles insider. He combs the sidelines and the locker rooms for the inside scoop, and he's a hell of a Dallas Cowboys star spitter. I leave that in from every intro, Dave. Joining us from somewhere outside of Phoenix, I guess, in Arizona on Super Bowl Patrol, a big Museum of Sports show. Welcome back to Mr. Dave Spadaro. How you doing, Dave?
Doing great, Doug. Lou, good to see you guys. Here we are 5 years later, another Super Bowl.
Did you think this would happen? I mean, I remember Doug Peterson saying it was going to be the new normal, and everybody kind of went, oh, we're doomed. Yeah. And so, I mean, did you think you would be back there?
I mean, eventually, yeah. I with the way they put the team together, I think everybody looked at the team this summer and said, this has a chance to be a very good football team. The moves that Howie made to upgrade the roster after a playoff season last year, they were really impressive. And, I think once you got into the season, you saw pretty quickly undefeated in the first, six games, I think. So, I don't think you ever really look that far down the line because there's so many, I've been through it so many times with Andy Reid that you go, oh, this is a Super Bowl team. And then you get to that NFC Championship game and So I never take it for granted ever. The only time I knew the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl was when the game ended against the San Francisco 49ers. But I knew early on it had a chance to be a very good team.
Well, yeah, you talk about the 2017-2018 team. I think there's, what, nine players left from that
there's,
team?
There's seven on the active roster, and then an eighth is Derek Barnett. So that includes a long snapper and the place kicker. So
and when you think about that, that's kind of amazing. When most of that roster is gone and you've sort of reinvented the wheel to a certain extent, offensively and defensively. I mean, in less than 5 years.
Right. That's why they call it the not for long, the NFL. And I give, listen, every team goes through ups and downs, right? And the Eagles, after winning that Super Bowl, went to the playoffs, won a game in 18, made the playoffs in 2019. Carson Wentz got hurt a few snaps into the game. And then a really bad season in 2020. And you go, well, here's your test. How long is it going to take for this organization to get back up? Took them 1 year. Bad year in 2020. Change out the coach. Change out the quarterback. Really start revitalizing the roster. And you're back in the playoffs in 2021. And now this team is a dynamic, just dominating team. I mean, this, in my opinion, this team is one win away from being the best Eagles team in my lifetime, but at least that I can remember. I was born in 1965, so I didn't see the 60 team. I didn't see the 48, 49 teams. But a win on Sunday over a really, really good Kansas City team, this team would vault to the top ahead of 2017, 2018.
And I'll ask you a little later to rank all of those, you know, Super Bowl or championship quarterbacks starting from, say, 1960 on up. How many Super Bowls does this make for you now? Is this three that you've been to?
I'm assuming. Yeah, 2004, then 2017, now this. So the good news is it's in warm weather here. I've learned that it doesn't really change my routine. I don't leave the hotel very much. I stay away from all the madness. I'm not really interested in going into the crazy scene. We had a taste of it on Monday at the NFL's opening night where there's media from around the world. But for the most part, I just do my work. The media, all of our media has been in the team hotel for the last few days. The media ends today. So I'm very happy just hanging out here, doing my work. We have a great team area where it's all, you know, they mimicked the NovaCare complex. They brought in all the meeting rooms. They brought in all the film study areas. They brought in the treatment areas. The dining area. So everything is the same. It's very similar. We went on in the preseason. We went to Cleveland and Miami for joint practices, and that was really good training ground for this. Yeah. So I'm very happy just being here. All my people are starting to come in. So I'm getting surrounded with love, and people who want to party, 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 well, they can go do that, and we're going to do the work.
Yeah, and you said it's kind of a mundane existence until game day. Now, you said you don't spend a lot of time out of the Cardinals practice facility. Most of your work is really just your own kind of classroom in the hotel room.
Yeah, practices are closed. So, as opposed to NovaCare, where we're given access to the practices, that's not the case here. No media there. Maybe a pool reporter there. Yeah. So I'm fine not going. I will stay my ground and be where I'm allowed to be. I get great access throughout the regular season. Got tons of access throughout this last week. And really, we got a lot of work done last week at NovaCare. So that this is more of a time for the national media to do the stories that Lou wants to read about Nick Sirianni being a babysitter and about all of these stories that I couldn't care less about. I have no more questions. I have no more writing. I want to just, I've got one more day of it. I just want to get to the game. I feel like I've written every story. I've done every podcast, I've asked every question. I just want to see if this team can complete the task.
So the highlight is now being on this show, a little something to get excited about.
Yeah. Right?
This is the last of about 50 of them, and I've saved the best for last.
Well, we pay the most, so I'm glad you jumped right on. So,
right.
What is there a vibe out there? I know that you're not in the metropolitan area; it's hard to pick up. But is
I don't pick up vibes from fans. The vibe is from the team, and the vibe is a great vibe. The vibe is the same as it's been throughout the season. It's the same as it was going into the Giants playoff game. It's the same as it was going into the 49ers playoff game. I am convinced this team will play a great football game on Sunday. They are ready. I think they love the game plan. They are on the practice field now. They're doing great work. Last week was an outstanding week of work at NovaCare. I think this team is ready to play a fantastic game on Sunday. That's the vibe I care about. The fan vibe is not an accurate vibe. And I love the vibe, and the fans are awesome. It's going to be a positive vibe. I think it'll be a very maybe 50-50 split in the stadium. But I care about the team vibe, and I really feel like that's an accurate vibe of how this team will play. I've been really on the spot this year. I didn't feel it for that Washington Commanders game at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles lost, but I feel it, and I feel it's going to be a big one on Sunday.
It's funny because this is Super Bowl number 3, a lot of close calls during the Reed years with the NFC Championship. Are you starting to sort of hit that the burnout ceiling, though, that, as you say, you just want the game to happen, you just want the win to happen, and then you get to do another phenomenal introduction on the Art Museum steps for a Super Bowl parade party?
I do pause and enjoy it all. It does get ridiculous, but that's the way the Super Bowl is. I mean, it is a media driven 2 weeks here. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the NFL's great at a lot of things, and nothing greater than making money. And they can turn anything into money making. And I don't even know if the Pro Bowl got TV ratings, it's like football game, and anything can get ratings if you attach the logo to it. It gets to a point where I think actually fans, I'm not sure how much fans are tuning in right now. I think fans are very, very excited, but I don't know if they really want to read that Nick Sirianni was a babysitter or whatever, or that he's...
Well, you did get $20. You got $20 a day for doing it. Every Thursday.
There we go. And by the way, you referenced newspapers. Lou, do you know that there's no such thing as newspapers anymore?
Don't take his dreams away, Dave. Don't rob him of his dreams.
Listen, how do people follow what you write or your podcast?
Well, it's all at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I do a couple of podcasts called Eagles Insider Podcast, Eagles Update, which is daily. We've done daily podcasts throughout the day. I've become a podcast addict, mostly political, but I really, really enjoy it. And it's a great way to communicate to people. And of course, I write a lot, and I do a lot of media like this. I do a lot of television. I do a lot of radio. So, I mean, I think you at this point, you have to recognize where the audience is, and the audience is spread across all of the platforms, and you have to be adjustable, and you have to be able to kind of just be good at all of it in every form of media. So it has changed a lot through the years. And, yes, you know, sitting down and writing a 1,200 word story, Lou, I'm hopeful that people will read maybe 400 words of that before they doze off or go to something new, before they go to my 180 character tweet or my Instagram or whatever it is. So, but yeah, it's been really great. It's a wonderful team. The guys on this team are great. It's been an extremely cooperative group. I really love Nick. I think Nick has the makings of a great, great, great head coach. And I've been here since Buddy Ryan days. So, I mean, he just knows how to connect with people. He knows how to be very genuine and authentic and open-minded, and he's got amazing energy, and he hits on all the points. And then he's on game days. I've not run across, he doesn't blow timeouts. He handles the game management tremendously well. He adjusts extremely well in game. So it's 2 years of Nick Sirianni, and hopefully many more.
So how would you, let's start by ranking the five modern era from 1960 to present. Let's start by ranking the coaches one through five. Who would you take as your, in the five spot down to your number one? I guess because it's been so long, and we would default and say probably like a Norm Van Brocklin would be in the five.
Well,
spot.
I don't know if I'm doing five, but in that group, I would go, you know, obviously Coach Ramil. I Doug Peterson obviously won a Super Bowl, so he's right up there. Andy Reid's obviously right up there. That's three. You know, Nick so far, early, a little sample size is early. So that's four. And who am I picking between? Am I picking between Buddy Ryan and Chip Kelly? I'd have to go with Buddy Ryan only because he really rejuvenated the Eagles after a tough time. I wasn't a big Buddy Ryan fan, but I do recognize that the Eagles were on tough times. He came into Philly and breathed life into the franchise. But the Eagles never won a playoff game with him. And so I still to this day am puzzled by Eagles fans who place Buddy Ryan on such hallowed ground. But, you know, he did make it interesting, and they were fun teams with Randall and Reggie and all that, but they never won a playoff game. So of those five, Doug would be number one, of course, because he won a Super Bowl. Andy would be number two because we had the most success. Yep. Dick would be number three. I would put Nick four, and then I would put Buddy five.
Yeah, that's kind of the way they would shake out with me. What about the quarterbacks of the modern era?
Well, I don't think is my signal screwing up there. Is
that no, okay? That's me. That's T-Mobile.
Look at you. I would say Donovan. I would say Jaws. I would say for one fleeting moment there, Carson Wentz.
Oh, wow. Wow. You shoehorned that one in there, didn't
that
you?
That was a good week. Yeah.
Certainly, I would put what Jalen has done this year at the very top as well. And yeah. I guess I'd put Michael Vick in there for his really good 2010 season. And I'm not sure if I'm missing anybody there. I mean, I'm 1960. I can't include Norm Van Brocklin. I didn't see him play, but obviously he would be up there at the top. So who am I missing in that era?
I think did you get Ron in there too?
Oh yeah, of course. Jaws. Yeah. I don't think I'd go Johnny Walton. I don't think I'd go Joe Pisarcik. I wouldn't go Pat Ryan. I wouldn't go Rodney
Norm Snead.
I wouldn't go Norm Rick Arrington.
What about Gardner?
Oh yeah, Gardner Minshew. Well, look, I mean, he won a couple games last year for us. That was nice. But
yes, he's in.
And look, if he's called upon on Sunday, knock on wood. Hopefully, if not, he'll have to deliver. So the great thing about the Super Bowl is that heroes are made. And yeah, Trey Burton's highlight of his career was throwing a touchdown pass at Philly. Yep. Philly. And I'm sorry, gosh, what am I saying? Nick Foles has to be up there. He won the Super Bowl. And whatever deal Nick Foles made, thank you, Nick Foles. You are an all-timer and a future member of the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame, no question.
Yeah, how many backup quarterbacks get statues out in front of their stadium? I'm probably the only backup that ever got a memorial to him.
Yeah.
Aside from the importance of the game winning it, of course, there have been stories that are really interesting. You've got, I think, at least three of them. You got Sirianni, who came in and was ridiculed from the get-go. You had Howie Roseman, who was out and came back. He's has his distractors. He's done this fantastic job. He's being praised widely. And you have a quarterback who a couple of years ago wasn't even in the league to think of. And so you got three great stories of things that could have never happened. And yet these are spectacular results.
Agreed. That, Lou, I think this is a really likable team. I think there are many storylines here. I mean, who doesn't root for Jalen Hurts? The guy is the epitome of a pro. He has worked to overcome deficiencies. He's been knocked down publicly and, in fact, humiliated, I would say, in what happened in college. Yeah. Wasn't really given a chance, came into a very difficult circumstance in Philadelphia, has been criticized heavily, overcome all that. Nick Sirianni, his very first press conference during COVID. Wait, I got to defend him, and I hated the fact that people criticized him. Here's the scene. He's in an empty auditorium. There's a big screen on the that he's looking at reporters on this big screen, a bunch of big, ugly Howard Eskin reporters. Okay. Ooh, ooh, ooh. He's sitting there reading off a script, trying to thank everyone in his life who's ever made it possible for him to get to that point. And he gets ripped for his first press conference. I mean, talk about unfair. It was ridiculous. And I'm glad he's overcome that. And by the way, he's the best with media coach that I've ever seen. He's amazing with the media. Now, I wasn't here with Dick. I was here in the very last days of Dick. Actually, no, I was gone when Dick was. I started in 85 covering the Eagles. Yeah. Buddy stunk with, I mean, I couldn't stand Buddy with the media. Andy Reid was trouble with the media. Chip Kelly was an ass with media. I mean, all of it. But Nick's been great. Doug was actually very good, too. But there were times but Nick's actually better. Howie Roseman, takes the team to the Super Bowl. And 2 years later, people are booing him. So it's a hard town to love you. You know it's not going to last long. That's why you really when people say don't pay attention to what anybody's saying about you, it is absolutely the truth. When great times are happening and they're praising you, don't pay attention to it because you know it's going to on the other side. It's going to happen as well. So just do your job. Do it for your organization. The fans are great, but don't listen to them. So Lou, the storylines are with Jalen and Patrick Mahomes. Youngest quarterback duo ever to start a game. First black duo to ever start a game. Andy Reid, head coach here for 14 years. Right. The Kelce brothers, Jason and Travis Kelce.
Right, right.
The number one seed in the AFC, the number one seed in the NFC, both scored the same number of points. I mean, both same record. I mean, it has the makings of a classic Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a great game on Sunday.
So, Dave, before we go, are you going to be adding to your sports memorabilia collection that you can do a show and tell on when you get back? Did you bring a bag that just load up stuff in?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like I don't do that anymore. I have I'm not sure. I don't know the value of my sports memorabilia. Like I have an old Reggie White framed jersey that the autograph is fading. Is there any value to that? Like I don't know. what am I going to do with that stuff? I honestly, Doug, I'm at the point now where, you know what my most treasured items are from the Super Bowl, the win, obviously the ring.
Yeah.
But there was like this, when we got on the back on the plane after the game, on the seat on the airplane, it says, it's like just a little card that says Spadaro, Super Bowl champion. And I got that encased in glass and I put that in. And that, like, that little thing is something that means a lot to me. The other stuff, I'm not doing it to save and sell, because I'm not going to ever sell it. And so when I die, do you think my kids are really going to care? My kids are grown. Like, they don't see the value in that. So I don't know what to do with memorabilia. So I don't really seek it that much. But I just want to win another Super Bowl. It would just mean so much. And, you know, if I were to get the chance to stand up there on the Museum of Art steps again, I will have the greatest time. I will be so damn happy. The world has changed so much in 5 years. Yeah, we're all fortunate to be here after a world pandemic has taken so many lives. Yeah. So I'm so fortunate to be part of an Eagles organization that is back at the top after 5 years. So let's go win the Super Bowl and then enjoy the parade, enjoy the celebration, and love each other in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. Hopefully you'll have another one of those cards on your seat that says Dave Spadaro, Super Bowl champ. And you'll have it. You'll have it.
It doesn't say, Doug, that's the beauty of it. It doesn't say Dave Spadaro. It just says Spadaro.
Yeah.
Sounds like a TV show. Spadaro.
It's so cool. It's so cool. I love it.
Well, a man who's running up a hellacious expense account at the Super Bowl in Arizona. He's the incomparable Dave Spadaro. Thank you so much for being on the Museum of Sports show. Go Eagles. Have fun. Get some good time with your family, too.
Well, thanks, Doug. Lou, thanks so much for having me anytime. And go Birds.
Absolutely.
Go Birds.
We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you.
Hey, we want to make sure our viewers and listeners go to themuseumofsports.org to make a tax-deductible contribution today so you can be part of Philly Sports Shrine today. When we come back, he is a man who has FredEx, the infamous Freddie Mitchell's wrestling championship belt that he paraded around at the 2004 NFC championship win over the Green Bay Packers. He wants to sell it, and we're going to try to find a buyer for it. We're going to find out how much it's worth when the Museum of Sports show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a couple of minutes.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked. The Museum of Sports show is presented by Depache Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depache is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depache, MD-FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Maniunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednarik, Bernie Perrant, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Now trying to stop a 4th and 26 and, in essence, take over. Plenty of time. Down the middle, it's Mitchell. Where will they spot him? They're going to get forward progress and a first down.
Now we are back on the Museum of Sports show here on Talk 860 and the Museum of Sports Facebook Live pages, brought to you by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. Susan Baxter is off this week. Our next guest, I never knew what your like official title was when you were here, Ryan, but he was the director and producer and technician who got the original Museum of Sports show on the air pretty much every week in its early days back in 2019. And he is sort of like an amateur, I guess, a sports collectible guy. And one of the weirder things in his collection is something he is looking to sell now. He is the keeper of the sacred Fredex Mitchell wrestling belt that Fredex sort of ran around the stadium during a victory lap after the 2005 NFC Championship over the, who was that, Falcons, Packers? I always forget.
Packers, yeah.
Packers. And so the question is, how much is something like that worth, and who out there wants to buy it? A huge Museum of Sports show. Welcome back to our good friend, Mr. Ryan Lennox. Ryan, how the hell are you?
Well, I'm still alive, so.
So I've got to ask you, when you were a producer and director for that show, we had the competition for the, what was that, Bryce bat. Harper bat?
Yeah,
the all-star bat.
Yeah.
The all-star bat from Victus Bats and King of Prussia, yeah.
That's right. Have you flipped that, or do you still have that?
See, so after I won that, I went up, and they engraved it with my last name on the bat. So that's a... it's a one-of-a-kind bat. You don't flip something like that.
That's a keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Well, you haven't hit any fungos with it, have you?
No.
or kids.
No. No kids.
Did you ever get that appraised?
The bat?
Yeah.
No. I keep it with my goods.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to maybe ask Nick Jr. what he thinks about that. So tell me, what else do you have in your collection?
A lot of stuff from New York Giants and a bunch of old wrestlers from the 80s. I got stuff signed. I'm going to a big convention in May. I'm going to meet Bret the Hitman Hart. He's going to sign a belt for me. So good stuff.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but any of that stuff, you just haven't bothered to get appraised. But now I understand the whole wrestling tie-in. So yeah. How far back? Tell me, when did you first meet Freddie, Mitchell? Now, was this before jail or after jail, or what was the sequence?
So
Ryan was in jail.
He was. They met in a halfway house.
No, I met him after. He was actually on a couple shows on 610 that I produced, and he would hang out kind of afterwards, and we would hang out, and we just got to talking, and I ended up doing some video work for him, and he was like, "Oh, what can I do for you?" And I was like, "Whatever happened to that wrestling belt?" And he just laughed at me. He's like, "That's in a storage unit in Florida." And I was like, "Really?" And he was like, "Why, you want it?" And I was like, "Sure." He FedExed it up 2 days later. It was in my possession.
So was he kind of floored that you even remembered that?
Yeah. But he knows I'm a wrestling fanatic, so.
So he just gave it to you.
And what was it? I mean, do you have it there?
Yeah, it's a WWF championship belt that he got custom made the front. It says Sultan of the Slot on the front of it.
That's pretty wild. And so do you have it there? I've got a picture of it from the New York Times here, which I can share that screen. This was him running it around the... stadium.
Here it is right here, Doug.
Yeah. Oh, look at that thing. That's crazy. Let me see.
What's that thing weigh?
Probably 5 pounds, maybe six. I don't know. Weighs a lot though.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see. This is a lousy picture, and it's from the New York Times archive, but you can see Freddie Mitchell on the left. And who is 87? I'm forgetting. Oh, that's Pinkston.
Todd Pinkston, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the original belt, what's right there, you said that was like a reproduction or something, or it was
so that's the actual belt. By the time I got it from him, the black on it underneath was all cracked. So I ended up replacing that with a better quality leather, and it's been sitting in my display case for since 20, I think that was 2017. So it's been there almost 6 years now.
Have you offered it to anybody yet and gotten a bid? No bids?
Nope. I haven't even put it out there. I was like, you know what? I was like, let me throw this to Doug and Lou.
Yeah. And see what
Nick says, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, because we get our little 10% off the top. You know that, Ross. Yeah.
Somebody already called in, said they'll give you 4 dozen eggs for it. Ooh, and that's worth about $5,000.
That's about five grand.
That's a couple of thousand right there. So
what on the big medallion part on the buckle, what does that say anything? Is it like a reproduction of like an actual WWF or one of the wrestling?
Yeah, like you could buy these back in the day, I think for like, I don't know, $300-$400, but he got this one custom made that says Sultan of the Slot on it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and he being sort of the two or three incarnation slot receiver every time he left and came back.
Yeah.
I don't know if we covered this already, but how did he get it?
Who, Freddie?
Yeah.
I'm sure he bought it back in the day.
Oh,
Did he have it made by somebody, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure he bought the belt and then had the piece made, but I never really asked him, so.
Was he a wrestling fan, though? Is that how he sort of came up with that idea?
Absolutely. He's from Florida. So like he loves that stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, as I was just doing a little bit of research, I forgot that Aaron Rodgers took a lot of crap because he sort of mimicked the whole, like on that 4th and 26 thing, there was a lot of stuff that had been written at the time. And in retrospect, how, when Freddie Mitchell gets up, he does, you know, the sort of championship the belt thing, which became kind of the discount double check in the Aaron Rodgers ads.
Yeah.
But Rodgers took a lot of hell for basically ripping that off of, you know, Freddie Mitchell, because I'm sure Rodgers like, oh, who the hell is going to know who Freddie Mitchell is?
Well, as he should. FedEx is a national treasure. We protect him at all costs. So,
what's Freddie doing nowadays?
Okay. So you remember, what was that? 2 years ago when we had those floods what was that? Yeah. You remember, what was that? I can't remember what hurricane or tropical storm that was.
Yeah, there was one a year ago where the volume was turned
21. I think it was 2021.
Yeah. So when all that happened, Freddie was living in, where was he? Manayunk, I think. His house literally filled all the way up and washed everything away.
Freddie was
running around in a Walmart in his underwear, trying to get clothes and stuff for him and everyone else. And good Lord. But I think he's in the King of Prussia area now. Every time I see him, he's on a private jet or he's courtside with the Sixers. So I don't really know.
Is he doing better now? There was that thing he was convicted of, some sort of insurance fraud or something like that. Oh, he did
allegedly.
Time, did
allegedly.
He not?
Yeah. It was a income tax thing, but I think he was just mixed up with the wrong guy. So
yeah. I mean, he was, you know, I'm trying to think, Lou, in your sort of historical view, how do you remember old FedEx?
I loved the way he played. He had a personality, which a lot of guys don't. You can't tell with the helmets and everything. And of course, he made that great catch, and he named himself FedEx. I mean, the guy's a genius. He should be in marketing. He should be on our show.
He's done it all. He's done it all. So, Ryan, you said you had not, and you asked for it. He gave it to you. Mm-hmm. They shipped it up in 2 days. And so you get it and you're thinking, all right, this might be worth something, or you just think it's a novelty.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I probably wore it around my condo for about 6 months.
Did you have anything else on?
No, that was the problem.
No, of course not. No, I didn't have anything else on. No, of course not. frightened the neighbors. My wife was petrified.
Here comes that Lennox guy again with his belt.
Yeah, they were like, wow, I didn't know skin could be so white. Wore it around the radio station for, I don't know, anytime anyone important would come in, I would wear that belt. So
you never wore it for us.
Like I said, important. I guess.
Well, I'd like to borrow it if I could. I think it would help my hernia.
Yikes. Well, plus you guys didn't come in for like a year. So
we have not been in since, God, I don't know when. Back to the studios. And the new studios now are quite nice.
Yeah, but we haven't been in since 2020.
I guess. Yeah. Didn't we go back once? We went back once.
Once, like it was the very beginning.
Yeah.
April.
And then we kind of you vetoed that. So you have not had it appraised.
I have not, no.
All right. So you've got it right there with you. Hold it up again so we can take a nice look at it.
Sure. Good thing it worked out today.
Yeah, get us in a little bit closer on that until it loses focus there. Yeah, and then kind of give it a little pan there. That's pretty cool. And that's a solid metal piece with metal sides, right?
Yeah, that's solid. Yep.
Yeah, that's nice. And then what is show us the belt part of it. Sultan of the Slant.
Sultan of the Slant.
That's heavy.
No, that's not. Yeah. What is that, alligator?
I think so, yeah. It's very sharp. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, all right, so what we're going to do here, it's obviously a one-of-a-kind piece. I don't know of any other player who went out and got a belt and paraded around when they won the NFC Championship, or any other championship for that matter.
I think if you take the belt and the photograph of him running around, frame it, and get him to autograph the picture, it authenticates it, and it gives it greater credibility. And so somebody could have the belt and on the wall and hang the picture right next to it. So
perfect.
I think that'd be pretty cool, but it needs to be autographed.
Yeah, I mean, or with some sort of inscription or something like that to personalize it. Because that's the picture right there. Hopefully you can see that in the screen share.
Yeah, that's a cool picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great, and if you can get that one, you could probably buy it from the New York Times, get it blown up and have that almost a shadow box, Lou, right? Is that?
Yeah, that'd be cool. A big shadow box. It says one of Mitchell's many nicknames is the People's Champ.
So I remember that.
So that's,
he had a lot of nicknames.
That fits in with the belt, being a champion.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And maybe we get one of the top wrestlers nowadays when they come in for one of the WrestleManias or something to be in the picture or something. So I think it's got some potential.
Oh, absolutely. Right. What would you, Ryan, if you had to guess, or when you had your, before you fell asleep at night, and you had your little dream about what it'd be worth. What would you think it would be worth?
Probably like maybe 1,000.
I think that's a good number. I think that's low.
Yeah.
But we'll find out. What do we have? We had the baby that Kelsey signed, and the kid that threw it to him, and I said 2,500, but our expert said 500. But this was lower,
and Nick usually tends to err on the side of maybe a little higher. But yeah. I was surprised. This was that little baby doll that when. Jason Kelsey said, he was talking with his brother on his podcast, and he asked his brother, what's the strangest thing you've ever been asked to sign? And he said, maybe like somebody's arm and leg, but he's never been asked to sign a baby. And Jason said, well, send me a baby, I'll sign it. And so the guy in the audience, one of the games and the crowd held up, Jason Kelsey signed my baby. And it was a little baby doll, kind of a creepy looking baby doll. And he threw it to him on the sideline. He signed it and threw it back. And $500 starting bid on that little bit of nuttiness. So now when this is sitting in your collection, would you say is this the most valuable thing in your collection? Or do you think that Bryce Harper bat's going to end up being the big one in the long run?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sell the bat. I mean, my favorite thing of all time, I've got a white Villanova basketball that Jay Wright signed for me with a little inscription on there. So I think that's my favorite piece. But I think value-wise, I think this belt's probably the most, because I'm never going to get rid of the ball or the bat. So
yeah, and this is just weird. The belt is just weird. Well, I am told that our King of Sports Collectibles is in the waiting room. So we're going to, if you can hang with us through the break there, Ryan Lennox. If you can stick with us. Hopefully this will be a jaw-dropping spot appraisal, because Nick has scared the living crap out of a bunch of folks with who've had some amazing pieces, one-of-a-kind pieces. So if you want to stick with us, we will be back with the owner of Freddie Mitchell's famous World Wrestling NFC Championship belt when we come back here on the Museum of Sports Show on Talk 860 Facebook Live. Back in just a moment.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked. The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do.
30
seconds,
gentlemen.
That's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Manayunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednarik, Bernie Perrant, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
Welcome back to the Museum of Sports Show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live and over on the Museum of Sports Facebook page. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld. Museum of Sports brought to you by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. There's the logo right there. That man, he's with us every week. He is our proud partner in the Museum of Sports. He is our own king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection worth well in excess of $35 million. And as I said, our proud partner in the museum. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Nick Depatche Jr. Hiya, Nick.
I'm always happy to be here with you guys. And now Ryan's here, blast from the past. So,
Ryan Lennox has been with us in the previous segment. We kind of gave you a heads up of this weird little thing that he has.
Don't be talking about his weird little thing.
No. I knew you were going to go there.
He feeds me these lines. I love it.
Yeah. But Ryan was our former producer and director.
That's what she said.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. And he owns, Nick, the famous or infamous Freddie Mitchell 2005 NFC Championship wrestling belt. If you want to hold that up for Nick, and maybe we'll get some nice close-ups here. Now, and just sort of describe physically, what is this thing? How much does it weigh? And kind of what does it say on it? And then Ryan, tell us how you got it.
Sure. So probably weighs about 5 pounds. It's a wrestling belt that Freddie had custom made. It says Sultan of the Slot on it, obviously, because he was a slot receiver. And after they won the 05 championship, he ran around, I guess, the whole field with it. And there's a bunch of pictures.
There's a picture right there. I've got.
And I ended up meeting him at the radio station probably, I don't know, 2016, 2017. And I ended up doing some stuff for him. And he ended up gifting it to me. And it literally has been sitting in my trophy case now for years. And I figured, since the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, why not poke the bear and see what it's worth?
And this is I'm guessing, and Nick, I'll let you kind of go through your little checklist on it. Freddie Mitchell was kind of a wrestling fan, from what you were saying, Ryan.
And that
was sort of, I guess, his theme. And then the other thing too is, I watched the video at the end of the 4th and 26 catch against the Packers, the crucial 4th and 26 catch. He gets up and he does that whole discount double check, which became sort of Aaron Rodgers' signature. But a lot of people criticize Rodgers for ripping that off from Freddie Mitchell and his wrestling belt sort of spiel. So, Nick, as you look at something like this, what are some of the questions you have or some of the observations?
I mean, first of all, it's one of a kind, like we always talk about. It's historic. In local sports folklore, I would say it's worth between $500 and $750. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's actually pretty good. And as you and say,
I think that's probably more than I put Kelsey's value at. I can't remember exactly what I said. The Kelsey baby.
$500 for the little creepy autographed baby.
So I think this could fetch a little bit more than the creepy baby.
And Freddie Mitchell, okay. I mean, we were talking about his legacy. Lou had some observations that, you know, he was kind of a character for kind of a, you know, a C+, B- slot receiver. You know, he stood out for good or for bad. What are some of your takeaways from him and what might give it some value?
Is that a question for me or Lou?
Yeah, no, that's you. That's you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you said Lou. He was a character. He actually attends a lot of Sixer games. I think he might have season tickets. Mm-hmm. They used to be right in front of us, and every time they show him on the screen, he gets a standing ovation. He gets applause and a welcoming like Donovan gets. I mean, he's one of the fan favorites on that team, and I think that says a lot about his collectible value. You got guys like that. Like on some of the other championship teams, let's take the 2008 Phillies. I would say he's like the Carlos Ruiz of those teams. Like Carlos Chooch wasn't a superstar, but he was a fan favorite. People loved him. They used to always yell Chooch whenever he was at bat. I mean, that's the type of player Freddie Mitchell is, and he'll be remembered more than some other players on the team who arguably had better seasons when they won the NFC championship.
I had suggested earlier that perhaps Ryan gets Freddie Mitchell to sign that picture, autograph that picture of him running around with it, frame it and make it part of the belt offering to give it a little more authenticity and maybe a few bucks more.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it'd still be in the range I mentioned, but it would be much closer to the higher end of that range and much more of a much more credence, like you said, and credibility to the belt itself.
What would be the ideal thing? Obviously, Lou storing it the way Lou tends to store his collectibles in sunlight, in salt air, is not what you would
outdoors.
What people would do. Outdoors. Yeah. What would be the ideal thing? So would you make like a shadow box out of this with like a picture of him with like maybe this New York Times picture with some sort of inscription and an autograph, or what would be the thing that would really make it pop from a biddability?
You know what? Lou hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You get that picture signed. You get someone a frame, you take it to a framer. They'll make a very nice display. Like you just mentioned, Doug, with a shadow box. Because it's a three-dimensional object. And I mean, you don't need to have a shadow box, but I think that adds a nice touch. And maybe like do eagle colors in the background, like in terms of the matting and the frame, a nice, just a plain black frame. So you have like green, black, silver, and you tie it in, and that would be perfect.
So let's, Ryan, let's take one more look at that thing.
Sure.
I mean, the belt, not the
other. You sound like my doctor.
the other weird thing. Yeah, bring us in a little bit closer and then show us some of the leather belt itself.
Oh, sure. So I replaced the original belt because it had cracked. Hold on.
Oh, I've got dogs going nuts here. Now, that's a pretty good high quality leather. Alligator perhaps, Nick. And then what's it look on the outside of the belt?
Oh, sure.
Ah, very nice. That could be added to the departure collection there.
Get your checkbook, Nick. Let's go.
I'm not in charge of the funds, unfortunately. So
I'll talk to your dad. I know who's in charge.
Nick, well, I could picture that looking pretty good on a mannequin dressed
as go through the board, yeah.
a mannequin dressed as Freddie with the uniform, full uniform, and around his and the picture next to it, or just get Freddie and stuff him And
good Lord. I honestly, I can see like a bar or like a sports bar or something giving me a call probably and picking it up and keeping that bad boy on display. I can see this on display more than they would want that piece of garbage that Doug's got on his bed there behind him.
Stop that. You, boy, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth.
That's oh, okay. Priceless. So if the bar
and you finally win a Super Bowl.
If the bar in Baltimore had the Johnny Unitas jockstrap bronzed hanging there, that's a classic. You know, Freddie's a weird little thing. Even Ryan's little thing. He'll come for a show and tell.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting a little too. All right. Our good friend of the show, Ryan Lennox, we'll leave it up to you and your negotiation folks with the Depatcha Museum or other parties to be named later. And please, please, please keep us posted on that because it's a crazy, crazy piece of memorabilia.
Will do, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Ryan Lennox, owner of the Freddie Mitchell AFC Championship wrestling belt. If you want it, get in touch with us or get in touch with Ryan. It is for sale. That's if the Depatchi Museum of Sports does not outbid you. Good seeing you, Ryan.
All right, guys, take care.
So, Nick, I guess as we inch closer to the Super Bowl, what things are popping on your radar?
Right now, I think there's a lot of Jalen Hurts memorabilia that's going through the roof. And now's not a good time to buy because obviously the price to buy is higher than it normally would be. I would wait till things cool down a little bit. But even if he wins like Super Bowl MVP, then it's going to even go through the roof. And that's the hope over here. So Jalen Hurts rookie cards, Jalen Hurts game used memorabilia, but even the manufactured memorabilia. I think that he's really the most collectible because it always comes down to the quarterback when it comes to memorabilia. But Hassan Reddick, his stuff is really popular right now. And then the Eagles that were on the last championship team, the 2017 team, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey specifically.
What happens over time? You know, there are only nine. We were talking with Dave Spadaro in our first segment today. You know, there are only 8 or 9 players from that original 2017 team. And it's, you know, it's kind of a one and done, and we reinvent it every few years and with it almost a brand new team and go back. What happens to that collectability over time? Let's say, you know, if Nick Foles has not been back as a Super Bowl QB, most of those folks have not been back to a Super Bowl. They win Sunday, and that's a one and done. What obviously it spikes after the win, and then what's the fall off? Is it like 30%, 20%, 50% over time?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, like you said, it's going to spike, and I would say it doesn't go down to 50%, but I would say like maybe 60 to 70%.
Really?
Yeah, but it's. Over time, it's the value is going to still keep creeping up, especially as his career gets going, as he improves his career accolades. A guy like him keeps setting records, hopefully franchise records and maybe even NFL records. He already set several this year, right? He set the rushing mark. He broke Michael Vick's single season rushing record. He set a few game records. So who knows how much more his name's going to be mentioned in the record books, and that all adds to his value.
Nick, are the Depatchi's going to be there at the game with a wad of cash ready to
ready to catch the stuff before it goes in the hampers, right?
Well, I don't know. We will be at the game, but from where we're sitting, I don't think we'll be catching any memorabilia.
Where are you guys sitting?
We're sitting behind the Eagles sideline, but it's in the 400 level. So it's upstairs, but everyone that says they've been to the stadium says that State Farm Field or State Farm Stadium doesn't have a bad seat in the house. So we just want to be there and soak in the atmosphere and hopefully bring home a championship.
Did you go in 2018?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We were there in 2018. And we were also there in 2005 at Super Bowl 39 in Jacksonville, but that was obviously not the outcome we wanted. We did not see Donovan throw up in the huddle, though.
Yeah, well, that's a once in a lifetime experience, guys. That is all the time we have for this week. Nick Jr., have a wonderful time out in Arizona. We want to see the pictures posted. Bring some pictures back that we can share during Facebook Live next week. We want to thank all of our guests, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, FedEx wrestling belt owner Ryan Lennox, and of course our King Sports Collectibles, Nick DiPaccio Jr., who will be heading out to the Super Bowl any day now. And don't forget to buy Lou's new book, Blades, Bands, and Bowlers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. You can get your custom autographed book by going to themuseumofsports.org, and Lou will sign it himself. Portion of the proceeds benefits the Museum of Sports. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by the DiPaccio Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialist in non-invasive treatment. For Lou Scheinfeld, Susan Baxter, Nick DiPaccio Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says after she says, "Go Eagles, Lou."
These are the good old days.
Have fun at the Super Bowl, Nick. We'll see everybody next week. Go Eagles.
Thank you. You guys, keep talking.